profundamente perturbada, cuando no destruida. Eventualmente, como bien sabemos, desde Canadá en el extremo norte hasta Chile y Argentina en el extremo sur, las potencias coloniales europeas, España, Portugal, Inglaterra, Francia y Holanda, las cinco principales naciones que se involucraron en el proceso de conquista y colonización de estas tierras, establecieron nuevas sociedades imitando en gran medida el modelo europeo, un modelo que luego fue continuado cuando las colonias devinieron estados independientes. Como continuadores de ese modelo europeo, los estados que surgirían en el continente americano estuvieron imbuidos desde su creación de un espíritu de jerarquización, tanto racial como étnica y cultural. En ese modelo, continuador del sello colonial, los pueblos aborígenes, así como los descendientes de los esclavos africanos traídos por los colonizadores, fueron más bien un agregado incómodo en la formación de los estados-naciones surgidos en el siglo XIX. Un distinguido intelectual argentino del siglo XIX, Domingo Faustino Sarmiento, en su libro Civilización o Barbarie, abogó por la traída de inmigrantes europeos para poner a su país en la ruta del progreso y la civilización. En Chile, Uruguay, Brasil y otros países latinoamericanos en el siglo XIX también se siguió un método del mismo modo: atraer europeos porque ellos serían un factor de progreso para los países. Los indígenas, en cambio, eran considerados un lastre. Nótese que las llamadas escuelas residenciales, implementadas aquí en Canadá desde finales del siglo XIX, seguían la misma lógica. La única manera de bregar con la presencia indígena era borrar lo que era precisamente su esencia. De ahí que a los niños se les castigara si hablaban sus idiomas o celebraban ritos propios de su religión. El tiempo después que el 12 de octubre era celebrado festivamente ha servido entonces de testimonio de cómo la percepción de la llegada del navegante genovés al servicio de España ha ido cambiando últimamente. Por cierto, no se trata ahora de reconstruir lo que fueron las naciones o los entornos sociales y políticos de los pueblos indígenas. No hay manera de que se reconstruya el imperio azteca o el Tahuantinsuyo de los incas. La presencia de un vasto conglomerado de pueblos de diferentes orígenes, no solo europeos, ha creado en las Américas una cantidad de estados que ahora tienen su propia impronta y sus características específicas. No hay manera de desmantelar eso, y tampoco es lo justo ni deseable. Cada uno de los países de nuestro continente tiene su legitimidad y su razón de ser. El problema fue que esos estados, desde Estados Unidos, el primer país independiente en el continente, hasta los países que fueron colonizados por España y, por cierto, pasando por Canadá, un estado relativamente joven, todos ellos fueron creados no por sus pueblos autóctonos, sino por descendientes de los conquistadores y colonizadores. Esto conlleva a su vez un problema aún no resuelto, al menos en la mayoría de estos estados. ¿Cómo reconciliar a esas comunidades disímiles? ¿Cómo hacer que los estados del continente americano puedan ser también la casa común para todos los que lo habitan y no solo para quienes descienden de esos colonos? Mientras ello no se resuelva, el colonialismo, en este caso su resabio en una forma cultural, se seguirá perpetuando. A new anniversary of the arrival of Christopher Columbus to the Americas gave reason this week for demonstrations and symbolic gestures. In Mexico City, for example, a replica of a pre-Columbian monument has now been installed, where the statue of Columbus once stood, similar gestures have been taking place in various cities in Latin America and also in the United States. The arrival of Columbus in 1492 certainly marked a crucial moment in human history. For Europeans, the realization of the existence of a continent that most had no idea was there. This despite the fact that 5 centuries before Columbus, it is well documented that Viking explorers reached the coast of what is now Newfoundland here in Canada and Greenland. Although these Europeans established some settlements, the harsh climate conditions, probably a conflictive relationship with the Aboriginal peoples, and above all, a level of economic development still distant from the mercantile expansionism that would come with the capitalism of the Renaissance, converged to make that the Viking presence on the continent did not last and lost transcendence. For the peoples that inhabited the so-called New World, as we all know, the consequences of Columbus' arrival were cataclysmic. Practically, their entire existence, both material and cultural, was profoundly disturbed, if not destroyed. Eventually, as we well know, from Canada in the far north to Chile and Argentina in the far south, the European colonial powers, Spain, Portugal, England, France, and Holland, the 5 main nations involved in the process of conquest and colonization of these lands, established new societies, largely imitating the European model, a model that was later continued when the colonies became independent states. As continuators of the European model, the states that would emerge on the American continent were imbued from their creation with a spirit of racial, ethnic, and cultural hierarchy. In that model, continuator of the colonial mold, the Aboriginal peoples, as well as the descendants of the African slaves brought by the colonizers, were rather an uncomfortable addition in the formation of the nation states that emerged in the 19th century. A distinguished Argentine intellectual of the 19th century, Domingo Faustino Sarmiento, in his book Civilization or Barbarism, advocated bringing in European immigrants to put his country on the road to progress and civilization. In Chile, Uruguay, Brazil, and other Latin American countries in the 19th century, a similar method was followed to attract European settlers because they will be a factor of progress for the countries. That was the belief. The indigenous people, on the other hand, were considered a burden. Note that the so-called residential schools, implemented here in Canada since the end of the 19th century, followed the same rationale. The only way to deal with the indigenous presence was to erase what was precisely their essence. Hence, children were punished if they spoke their languages or celebrated rites proper to their religion. The time since October 12 was celebrated as a holiday has served as testimony of how the perception of the arrival of the Genoese navigator in the service of Spain has been changing over the last few years. It is certainly not now a matter of reconstructing what the nations or the social and political environments of the indigenous peoples were. There is no way to reconstruct the Aztec Empire or the Tahuantinsuyo of the Incas. The presence of a vast conglomerate of peoples of different origins, not only Europeans, has created in the Americas a number of states that now have their own imprint and specific characteristics. There is no way to dismantle that, and it is neither fair nor desirable. Each of the countries of our continent has its legitimacy and its raison d'etre. The problem was that those states from the United States, the first independent country on the continent, to the countries that were colonized by Spain, and certainly Canada, a relatively young state, all of them were created not by their indigenous peoples, but by the descendants of the conquerors and colonizers. This, in turn, leads to an unresolved problem, at least in most of these states, how to reconcile these dissimilar communities, how to make the states of the American continent a common home for all those who inhabit it, and not only for those who descend from those colonists. As long as this is not resolved, colonialism, in this case, as a remnant of past domination, in a way, in a cultural form, this colonialism will continue to be perpetuated in our continent. Good day.
¿Dónde están nuestros hijos ahora? ¿Qué viento los barrió? ¿Dónde nuestros maizales de oro meciéndose en el sol? ¿Qué fue de nuestras huacas sagradas? ¿Qué fue de nuestra paz? Lloro por Titicaca y la luz amada de Pachacamac. Sueño un camino, mira, Cocha entenderá cuánto dolor encierra mi corazón. Grito taquiongo y preparo mis armas, Manco Inca sonreirá, las flores en los valles revivirá. Sagrada, se corporizarán aztecas, mayas, incas, chimúes, convocarán al sol. Este es el día del año justo, ya terminó el dolor. Vengo a cantarles la profecía, el indio no murió. Sueño un camino, Viracocha entenderá cuánto dolor encierra mi corazón.
Se acercaba el día de su 18º cumpleaños y la Tierra se encontraba acostada boca hacia algún lugar del espacio porque desde que vio a la Luna no dejó de provocarse efectos mariposa en el estómago. A ver si así podía poner un poco de práctica la teoría del caos y conocerla. Pero la Luna era ordenada, meticulosa y apasionada de las cifras y al principio no se fiaba de alguien que había tardado solo 5 billones de años en pedirle salir a una chica. Que tal vez su interés era superficial y solo le interesaban las vistas porque se comentaba que con ella los polvos estelares se veían de maravilla. Pero el día de la cita la Luna se esmeró buscando en el armario una fase, preguntándose si no era muy atrevido vestirse ese escotado cuarto menguante sin maquillarse o dejarse ver los cráteres, si darle una oportunidad a una chica después de haber saltado para la humanidad y dado pasitos en falso para los hombres. Y mientras la Tierra no paraba de preguntarse qué iba a contarle, tal vez lo de que después de los dinosaurios de mayor quería ser controladora aérea de estrellas fugaces, que la Tierra todos éramos ciudadanos de un lugar llamado primer mundo porque el segundo nos sabía poco y el tercero estaba en vías de desarrollo, que en la Tierra éramos unos extremistas religiosos un poco absurdos y nos llenábamos la boca de orgullo gritando mi Dios besa mejor que el tuyo, que en la Tierra no importa el color de la piel, que nadie te detiene para que justifiques tu existencia con un trozo de papel, que es más fácil ser mujer, que dos sí se pelean aunque uno no quiere y al revés, que uno no tiene suficiente con dos y busca tres para inventarse que son felices los cuatro hasta que se multiplica el problema y cuatro acaba llamando al 016, que los refugiados no están hechos de opiniones en internet, que en la Tierra no nos rompemos el corazón al recordar el pasado, que no somos tan simples, que después de una relación fuimos, no se conjuga en el pretérito perfecto complicado. ¿Cómo iba a impresionar a la lunática que afectaba su gravedad? A la que le dijeron que era imposible tapar el sol con un solo eclipse y demostró que no era verdad, cuando lo único genuino era que la Tierra somos unos rebeldes a la hora de amar, que toda la Vía Láctea ya puede declararse la huelga, que ese día haremos a trabajar, que no somos más que un instante en este lugar, pero vivimos como si la eternidad no fuese más que una hora que todavía no ha cumplido la mayoría de edad. La Tierra podía contarle todo eso a la Luna con algún que otro engaño, o simplemente empezar la cita diciéndole que era su cumpleaños.
El silencio se viste de estrellas y despierta la luna en su ensueño. En la noche de mis pensamientos estás solo tú. En el río de mis ilusiones la corriente me trae un deseo, una flor en un manto dorado apareces tú. Solo tú y solo tú, en tus brazos siento renacer, una gota de lágrima tierna hazme florecer. Solo tú y tú, mi amor, iluminas mi calle sin luz, en el fondo desvarío, estás solo tú. Si pudiera pedirle al viento que me lleve a un mundo desierto, en lo alto del monte sagrado apareces tú. El silencio se viste de negro y arrulla la luna en su ensueño. en la noche de mis pensamientos estás solo tú, solo tú y solo tú. En tus brazos siento renacer una gota de lágrima tierna, hazme florecer. Solo tú y tú, mi amor, iluminas mi calle sin luz. En el fondo de mi desvarío estás solo tú. En el fondo de mi desvarío estás solo tú.
Bueno, y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 17 de octubre del 2021. Entre los eventos tenemos Feria Iberoamericana del Libro en Canadá, invita a un encuentro de escritores latinoamericanos expertos en microficción. Participan Daniel Frini por Argentina, Pía Barros por Chile, Angélica Santolaya por México, Violeta Rojo por Venezuela y Alberto Benza González por el Perú. Evento virtual en Facebook, esto es el lunes 25 de octubre a las 14 horas. Ir al sitio www.filibrocanada.com. Entre las publicaciones tenemos edición inglesa del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, escrito por Sergio Matides y Roberto Orbaz, ya está a la venta en la librería Argos en el 1915 de Saint-Catherine Oeste, en la librería Paragraph 2220 McGill College y con un precio de $10 más impuestos.
The book Chilean Presence in La Belle Provence, English version of the book Presencia Chilena en La Belle Provence, written by Sergio Martinez and Roberto Hervas, is already on sale at Argos Bookstore, located at 1915 St. Catherine West, and Paragraph Bookstore on 2220 McGill College Avenue. Price $10 plus tax.
L'édition française du livre Présent chilien dans la Belle Provence est maintenant disponible à la librairie de l'Université de Montréal, c'est-à-dire les 3200 Champvrillan, à la librairie Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre-Vieux-Montréal et en ligne sur le site de Renoblet.
Y vamos a anuncios de interés público. La vacuna contra el COVID-19, consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés o inglés. También se puede llamar por teléfono al 1-877-644-4545. Recuerde que ahora estar vacunado y presentar su pasaporte de vacunación es necesario para ir a un restaurante, un bar, un cine o una sala de conciertos.
El tiempo para hoy, según la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, es de una combinación de sol y nubosidad, con una temperatura máxima de 15 grados. Para esta noche, periodos de nubosidad con una mínima de 8 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
También puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Para eso tiene que ir a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime. Y de paso le denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino se ha escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio del CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya mencionado y presionando Latin Time.
siento tus labios besándome. Porque siento esa mirada quemándome. Porque te imagino tanto abrazándome, amándome, queriéndome. Si tú no estás aquí, estás lejos de mí. Siento tu voz llamándome. ¿Por qué aún siento tus manos tocar mi piel? ¿Por qué yo te extraño tanto? Dime por qué. Quiero saber si tú también sientes lo mismo que ayer. ¿Por qué no vuelves, mujer? Basta ya, mi amor, no seas así, que mi corazón no puede más sufrir. Basta ya, mi amor, quiero sonreír, volver a tu lado. No me dejes así. Basta ya, mi amor, no seas así, que mi corazón no puede más sufrir. Basta ya, mi amor, quiero sonreír, volver a tu lado. No me dejes así.
Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop Production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes,
our team today,
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces,
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
I'm Skip Airy, N2EI of Southern New Jersey. If you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is our show for Sunday, October the 17th of 2021. We thank you for joining us. My name's Sheldon and Gilles is with me. And we thank you for tuning in. We'd like to hear from you. You can reach us by email with any comments or questions about the program, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We have a bunch of new members this week. We'd like to welcome David, Stu, Kasem, Jacques, Sil, and Christian joining us. 636 members, so we thank you for stopping by there and clicking the join button. And if you'd like to listen to our show at your leisure, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/International Radio Report, where we currently have 473 subscribers. You can listen to the latest show and go back and listen to previous editions of the program as well. We have a fairly lengthy story to get to right off the top today, and it is coming from Jean-Frédéric Legaré-Tremblay. He's a fellow and senior advisor, communications and partnerships at the Montreal Center for International Studies. And this ran in French in La Presse in Montreal and also in the Globe and Mail, the national newspaper in Canada out of Toronto. And the headline, as press freedom declines worldwide, CBC Radio-Canada should embrace an international broadcasting role. Where's this guy been for a long time? When we did have exactly that.
Yep.
Really interesting story, so we thought we'd share this with you today. So we're going to trade off on this one because it is quite lengthy, but I think it's well worth reading. Canada's role in the world is rather discreet nowadays. This was made clear during the federal election campaign when the candidates' proposals on foreign policy were thoroughly lacking, just like those of culture and communications. Putting these two problems together, we can consider one solution: create a world service at CBC Radio-Canada. This proposal goes beyond growing the ranks of the current cohort of foreign correspondents, whose audience is first and foremost Canadian. Instead, it aims to deploy an extensive network of journalists and broadcasting capability across the world to reach an international audience in a multitude of languages, in the manner of BBC World Service and France 24.
This proposal is important given the global media context over the past decade. Press freedom is declining worldwide, a trend that corresponds with the decline of democracy. From intimidation to banishment, authoritarian governments are increasingly tightening the screws on independent media. There is a second challenge. Many of these governments are making sustained efforts to occupy the information terrain outside their borders, with an approach that has scant regard for media independence and conveys a deep skepticism about Western liberal democratic narratives while defending those of their country. And some of them are very successful in doing so. This is the case of the Russian channels RT and Sputnik, whose content does not appear so much to be about enhancing Russia's global reputation as relativizing, even denigrating, that of Western countries. Success is palpable. The two channels are the second and third most consulted international public media on the internet, behind the BBC. China, for its part, decided 12 years ago to invest billions of dollars to, in the words of Xi Jinping, tell China's story well to the world in accordance with the Chinese Communist Party line. China Global Television Network broadcasts in six languages, and China Radio International in no less than 65 languages. I made mistakes, but my departure wasn't the solution to the CBC's problem with racism. Even Iran has jumped on the bandwagon. With a budget of about $1 billion U.S., the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting and its branches in 20 countries control 40 TV and radio channels broadcasting in 30 languages. Its objective is to improve Tehran's image, counter Western propaganda against Iran, and cultivate its reputation as an anti-imperialist power.
Among liberal democracies, the United Kingdom has taken note of this new global media situation. In 2016, London made a major reinvestment in the BBC World Service by expanding its staff and launching services in 11 additional languages for a total of 40. As an independent broadcaster, we remain as relevant as ever in the 21st century, when in many places there is not more free expression but less, said the BBC World Services director, Fran Unsworth. Ottawa also actively supports the cause of media freedom. In 2019, Canada with the UK founded the Media Freedom Coalition, a group of countries dedicated to promoting and supporting press freedom, as well as the safety of media professionals. It is also one of 11 founding countries of the Information and Democracy Partnership, which in the same year laid down principles and objectives to promote access to reliable information. Canada could go one step further. CBC, Radio Canada, has all the assets to play a major international role, heir to a tradition of press freedom that is among the strongest in the world, according to Reporters Without Borders, has high professional and ethical standards, is experienced in international journalism, and is already available in two international languages. By doing so, it could offer free and independent information to people who have less and less access to it, while also presenting itself as a legitimate alternative to the propaganda outlets of authoritarian governments.
Canadians would also benefit from such a service, which would inform them better than ever about the world. And in broadcasting Canadian news through a far-reaching network, the same service would better inform foreign audiences about Canada. Radio Canada International, which has operated since 1945, is already available in seven languages, but its minuscule team of nine employees based in Montreal, RCI produces content that is mostly translated from CBC Radio Canada's website. This is a far cry from a true international service broadcasting with a host of reporters based in nearly every continent. Among liberal democracies, Canada is one of the stingiest when it comes to investing in its public broadcasters, $33 per capita. The average is $88. This proposal is ambitious, but it's worth an investment. And this just shows that there is more and more need for countries and for broadcasters to actually be international. We are looking constantly at getting correct information about what's happening around the world. I personally am always going to the BBC World Service, which is a known, international news service that you can trust. And Canada, with Radio Canada International, that had such high marks, everybody was, you know, saying that Radio Canada International was an amazing service, and it was up there, even with its small budget, it was up there with the big, you know, the BBC and all of those big services. And we need to have that. Radio Canada International needs to exist and needs to have its own, you know, journalists. It needs to be something, give news around the world. I mean, it is more important than ever that we have something like that.
It's, you know, reading this article, it's such a shame that everything is saying that he is saying in this article is something that we already had.
Yeah.
And, you know, these decision makers, whether it was at government level, whether it was in Radio Canada domestic service that was responsible in the later years for RCI, whether they didn't get it, whether they didn't understand it, whether they didn't think it was necessary, whatever it was, it's basically become irrelevant. It's there, but barely there. It's hard to find. People don't seem to be using it. We've lost a lot of that credibility and respect that we had as an international broadcaster. People are looking at this very, you know, very large country. People are envious of Canada around the world. They look at us and they say, wow, you know, this is such a great place. Why so many people want to come here? It's the role of Radio Canada International, or at least it was, to be our ambassador to the world, to tell the rest of the world about Canada. The U.S. isn't going to do it. The BBC is not going to do it. We have to talk about ourselves. That's what these other countries that he's quoting, Iran and Russia and China, that's what they're doing. They understand that they're reaching the masses by putting these programs on the radio. We went the exact opposite. We had it and we've lost it. And it's going to be extremely difficult to get it back. I don't know what impact this article will have, but I was really pleased to see it and to see it spelled out like this. And maybe some people will stop and think and say, wow, you know, look what we let slip through our fingers.
I think there's a lot of people that also don't understand exactly, you know, why should we broadcast the Canadian viewpoint and who we are to the world. What, you know, is, why is it positive to do that? And I think a lot of people don't understand that it's not just giving the Canada's viewpoint in world events or even, you know, talking about Canadian life. There's something about that that also helps in the image and what people around the world think of Canada. If we can actually have a positive voice, an interesting voice out there that people can hear, can read stuff on the internet. I mean, try to find the RCI website today. It's almost impossible. I mean, in any form, be it digital formats, podcast, whatever, even shortwave, it gives an image of Canada for everybody else. And that is only positive because when we go somewhere, if we go to another country, well, with a positive image, we already see that everywhere we go around the world, Canadians are welcome. And that's because we project this image. And the only way to really project it, well, some big international service that will broadcast that information.
Yeah, as we've said, we understand this. We understand international broadcasting. We're never quite sure that CBC Domestic or Radio Canada Domestic understood international broadcasting. No. And I don't think they do now because, as the article says, they're taking domestic newscasts and translating them. You know, what do those stories mean to international audiences? Very little, you know, but it's the cheap and dirty way to do it. You know, they're filling a mandate. Well, yeah, the government says we need RCI. Well, look, here we have RCI. But if the content isn't worth anything, you know, why even waste the money? You know, use the money, put it into a service like we had, and get the word out in multiple languages like these other broadcasters are doing. Is it too late? I don't know. I certainly hope not. But I certainly thank, I don't know, Jean-Frédéric Legarry Tremblay, but I'm a fan of his right now, I'll tell you that, with him putting this article together.
I think what's scary also is to hear all the time about the dollar amount of what it costs. when, I'm sorry, but good news sources, good news services, you can't talk about it in terms of dollars. Right. You have to talk about it in terms of all the information that comes out of it. And yeah, we'll have to spend money to have that going. But it's scary because there's so much talk about how much it costs rather than how much it will bring back in return.
Yeah, it's money well spent. The investment, the return on investment has been proven in the past. Now, you know, it's just not there. So anyways, yeah, we thought we'd get that story out to you. And I think it's really important. And I'm glad that somebody is at least, you know, put it down on paper. And yep, I really respect that article. All right, let's move on to Western Canada. Some interesting things going on with the CRTC. This comes from the Western Standard via Radio World. The CRTC says nein to a German radio station in a remote Alberta town. The CRTC has shot down plans for a German radio station in northern Alberta, claiming it would prevent residents from fully participating in Canadian society, says Blacklock's reporter. I do not understand why they would do this, said Abraham Zacharias of La Crête, Alberta, who applied for a license on behalf of local townspeople. Residents petitioned for a part-time 50-watt FM license to broadcast local programs in German. There were no exceptions from commercial stations in neighboring towns. I'm very disappointed, he said. A 50-watt approval is usually not difficult, especially as a nonprofit community service. The hamlet of La Crête, 700 kilometers northeast of Edmonton, is not home to a single francophone, according to census data. Of some 2,000 residents, more than two-thirds, or 64%, identify as German-speaking Mennonites, and more than a tenth of townspeople speak German at work. The local Chamber of Commerce calls the century-old hamlet a unique bilingual community with English and German as the two dominant languages. It's the home to a Mennonite heritage village as well. The CRTC, in its decision, said ethnic radio stations must typically broadcast in multiple languages, though in this case, it would not be practical since La Crête residents only spoke English and German. The CRTC said, nevertheless, it was concerned German news, talk, and music shows would not help the local community to better participate in Canadian society or bridge the cultural gap with the existing English-speaking community. What do they mean by that? Said Zacharias. I get tons of people asking us if this is up and running. We have older residents who don't understand some of the English language that well, and this is for them. We would have music, different talk shows, news, programming for the elderly, children's programming. There would be church programming. Where do we go from here? The CRTC issued its ruling Friday on Multiculturalism Day, the golden jubilee of a 1971 cabinet policy. I do not understand this decision at all.
How does it make that a community would not be participating in anything Canadian just because they'll have a station in a language that they understand best?
We have stations in Montreal here that only broadcast in one language, not even English or French. We have an Arabic speaking station in Montreal. We have a Creole station. How are those different than this station that wants to broadcast to a specific audience that speaks another language? We have multi-ethnic stations. It seems the CRTC doesn't have a problem with that, but they have a problem with someone speaking English and another language. I don't get it.
Yeah, and you know, if you have a small community in a small town or anything, I would like to have a station that speaks to me in the language that I can understand. If I have a hard time with English or French or anything else, I mean, I have a hard time with this one also. I can't understand what they thought of or how they took that subject that, well, you know, it's almost like, well, if we put a German language station there, you know, it's going to be hard for these people to fit in.
I think in BC and in Toronto, there are Hindi language stations.
Yeah.
There are probably some other examples that I'm not thinking of right now across the country, but this one, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. But anyways, and the fact that they had nobody complained about it. There were no interventions.
No.
It was simply the CRTC who made this decision based on their own findings, it seems.
Yep, that's
very strange.
So what is happening with our sun? Well, this week was kind of active. Last week I had mentioned a sunspot group, 2882, and I said in my report that it was growing and there was possibility of flares. And what did it do? It had an M flare that was actually Earth-directed. And it brought us a geomagnetic storm this week. We had a G2 class storm that happened. So there was some activity and there was a lot of disturbances on the bands. I was listening when the storm hit, and I can tell you that there was not a lot of signals on shortwave for a couple of hours. And of course, it subsided, and now things are back to normal calmness. There is a possible coronal hole that will be impacting around October 19th. So that's around 80. And we have a continued ascension of the solar cycle that is going higher than expected, faster than expected. So apparently we might be heading towards a solar maximum that will be even bigger than what they expected before. And, of course, the best way to know if propagation is good or bad is to turn on that radio and listen.
I'm Brian Penny of Brewster, Massachusetts. You're tuned to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
And talking about propagation, we might want to make sure that propagation isn't too bad for an upcoming event on October 24th. We talked about this a few times in the past when it happens. The SAQ Grimton UN Day transmission that is coming up. This is via Ralph Bender from Germany. On United Nations Day, Sunday, October 24th, 2021, the unique and historical Alexanderson alternator in Grimton, Sweden, with the call sign SAQ, is scheduled to send out a message to the whole world on 17.2 kilohertz CW. So 17.2 kilohertz, that's very low in frequency. The program and transmission schedule is set for 1330 UTC. Information about World Heritage Grimton for visitors at the Visitor Center, and at 14 UTC, transmitter hall visit for visitors. And then there's the transmission and YouTube live stream. 1425 UTC, the live stream will begin. 1430 UTC, startup and tuning of the Alexanderson alternator SAQ. And at 15 hours UTC, transmission of a message from SAQ. The YouTube live stream, we'll post the link for that, is going to be at 1520 UTC, live music concert from the transmitter hall, and there's more details on the website. We are proud to announce that this year's message has been composed by the Swedish human rights lawyer and sustainability expert, Mr. Parul Sharma. Test transmissions that they are planning to carry are some test transmission on October 22nd, approximately between 11 UTC and 14 UTC. SAQ will be on the air shorter periods of time during this interval, when we will be carrying out some tests and measurements. And of course, comments are welcome to info@alexander.n.se. So this is, of course, something that is unique, very low frequency, so you need a radio receiver that goes way down to 17 kilohertz. 17.2 kilohertz exactly. Lots of people have been hearing this around the world. So, you know, maybe it's something to try for. Even if you are not sure that you are capable of receiving this signal, just try it. And, of course, you can maybe try it on some online receivers somewhere. And that YouTube Live is going to be fun also to watch.
Yep. This is they've done many of these in the past, and it's always quite an interesting activity and special event for radio DXers around the world. So if you're in a nice, quiet location, that's going to be key. And we'll put up all this information so you can be in the right place at the right time to see if you can hear the transmissions.
Yep.
Guess what? There's another international radio report.
Really?
It's not just us. Via Mike Terry in the UK and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio, we've been told that the latest edition of Hans Knott's International Radio Report is now available. What is it? They call it a kaleidoscope of offshore radio. It's basically a newsletter blog-type format produced by Hans Knott in the Netherlands. It includes a wide variety of news, information, and feature articles predominantly on the European pirate radio scene. Some of the content is written in Dutch, also many articles, though, in English. Don't tell the CRTC about that. They might not like that. It is available online simply at Hans Knott, that's HANSKNOT.com. I had come across this a long time ago, and I'd kind of forgot about it. And then when Glenn and Mike put this together as a tip, I went and took a look at it again. And it's lengthy.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of really interesting stuff on it about the European pirate radio scene. A lot of feature articles. A lot of work goes into it. So do check it out. I'm not sure how often it comes out, but this is the latest edition. So hansknott.com. for his international radio report, of course, not to be confused with our international radio report.
Yep, definitely a great place to visit. I've looked through it. When you sent me the link, I started looking at it, and a very, very interesting place, website to for a lot of information. And lots of stuff in English, actually. So
really good pictures, too, included. Yep. Some of the pirates, broadcasters, some of their facilities, some of the onboard ship stations, and a lot of historical information, too. So I think you'll enjoy it.
We have a little bit of news coming out of ICOM, a well-known company for radios and transceivers. Amateur radio operators know ICOM. There's a lot of these radios out there. They have a portable wideband receiver that is the ICOM ICR30. We've got news that it probably will be discontinued soon. The ICOM Europe and Asia website already says that it's discontinued. So only the North America ICOM website still doesn't say it. But that probably means that the days are counted. If you are into looking to buy one of those, I think you got to hurry because there might not be any more available soon. The ICOM ICR30 is a wideband receiver, goes from about, I think, way down to 100 kilohertz up to 3 gigahertz, as different digital modes that it can decode, like D-Star is one of the ICOM modes that you can listen for amateur radio, D-Star communications. It has an all-mode on all frequencies, or pretty much, and it's a nice little package. Unfortunately, if you live in a big city, it might overload. I just got to tell you, but the days are counted, and there's no replacement. There doesn't seem to be any other model that will replace the ICOM ICR30.
Now, on your official SWL channel, YouTube channel, you have quite a few videos about the R30.
Yeah.
So people might like to check those out as well. So. Yeah. We'll put up a link, and you can check it out. Maybe you already have one, and you can hold on to it. And I think location of using this radio, as you said, is
very
important.
Yep. Yeah. And maybe if you're looking for accessories also, like replacement batteries and all of that, maybe it's time to look for that also, because if the radio disappears, accessories are also going to be hard to find. So we are out of time.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. We had quite a bit of interesting stuff here today. We'll put links up on our Facebook page to these stories. We'd love to hear your comments as well, particularly that story about a what we would like to see, a rebirth of Radio Canada International. Your comments would be appreciated. Any questions you have, radioreport@yahoo.com is our email address, and our Facebook group, International Radio Report. And to listen to the show again on YouTube, International Radio Report is the channel. So check all of that out. We'll talk to you again next Sunday. We had no ham contests for this next coming weekend. So that's if you thought we missed them. No, we didn't. There's nothing lined up for next weekend. So we'll see what's up next time round. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
CKUT, Henry Grimes. And stay tuned for more of the most aesthetic things, feelings in the world. Oh,